So here's where we're going tonight. And I want to start in John chapter 1. I'm not going to speak for long, but I want to just share a few thoughts with you. I mentioned in the beginning that our theme tonight is Jesus, the true light. And I'm going to read in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As I've already alluded to in the opening this evening, for us to really embrace Christmas, you know, what we as Christians are wanting to celebrate and focus on, it requires something of us. It requires that we have come to terms, I'm going to make up a new word here, with our own lostness and our hopelessness without Jesus, our sinfulness. And if we haven't come to terms with that, then Christmas just becomes everything that the world has made it to be, right? It just becomes a secular holiday. It just becomes a time to get together with family and friends, to take time off from work, to exchange presents, to eat too much, to put up decorations, to put up Christmas trees and all that. And culturally, that's Christmas, right? Because the majority of people don't want to deal with the fact of their sin and the hopelessness of who we are in that condition without Jesus Christ. And that's what we really have to come to terms with. You know, you hear people talk about, you know, the Christmas spirit. You know, what in the world is that? You know, all these things and, you know, it just, I mean, you know, and they're just talking about, you know, being joyful and giving and all that. And those are fine things, of course. But, you know, all those things just are really devoid of meaning in terms of what we embrace. And you know, and listen, I'm not a, I don't know, should I say Scrooge or whatever, or whatever. I mean, I enjoy the traditions of, I love that stuff. And I'm, you know, I know everybody comes down in a different place and some people are, you know, don't want to get into the cultural side of it that much and all the trappings. And I get that and I respect that. I like it. I make the most of it. I enjoy it. And, you know, everybody kind of comes down in a different place. But I confess, I mean, I play the 24/7 Christmas music in my truck, you know, and I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. So long as it doesn't eclipse Jesus Christ and what we're celebrating. You know, I was thinking of the songs that I hear, you know, probably one out of every four or five, unless you're listening to a more Christian-oriented Christmas, like K-Love is doing a Christmas weekend thing and such. You know, on the quote-unquote secular stations, if you will, you know, I just made a list of songs, you know, White Christmas. You know, that's a classic. We just watched that movie a week or two ago, like that movie. But if you're not into Bing Crosby and White Christmas, you can get into Elvis and Blue Christmas, right? You know, you've got your choice. Santa Baby, Let It Snow, Winter Wonderland is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Jingle Bells, Santa Claus is coming to town. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Silver Bells, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. 12 Days of Christmas, All I Want, oh gee, All I Want for Christmas is You. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. And the list is endless. That was just a quick list I put together. Just things you hear. And none of that touches what we embrace as Christmas, the birth of Christ. Now, of course, there are a lot of those songs out there, and I love the Christmas carols, the songs that have scriptural meaning and scriptural content to them. And I say it every year, I love Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I think it could be a seminary class. It has so much theology, if you will, in it. But I enjoy Christmas decorations. Lori, just the house is decked out. It looks like a winter wonderland. Like I say, I enjoy the music, but I prefer, obviously, the things that point to Jesus Christ. But all that's a part of Americana. It's all part of our culture, and I'm not against that stuff. But when it starts to eclipse Jesus, and I challenge each of you as families about this, unless we understand our lostness, Christmas just takes on all these other meanings and all these other traditions. And we see that going on around us. Every day this time of year in our culture, we see people trying to celebrate Christmas without the central reason why it's even called Christmas, right? And of course, we know what it's about, but all that gets lost in the shuffle. Christmas, I actually looked it up. The term was first used in 1038, so almost 1,000 years ago. And it was short for, and many of you know this, Christ's Mass. At that time, the Catholic Church was the predominant, force of Christianity in the world, and their services are called the Mass. And so it was Christ's Mass, and then it was shortened to Christmas, and that began about 1,000 years ago. But now it's become about kids and families and presents and peace on earth. And we all want peace on earth, but it only comes through the Prince of Peace. Amen? Amen? It's about the fact that, again, that mankind is totally lost and totally without hope, without Jesus Christ. And if we ever lose sight of that, even as Christians, and we start looking down at other people, looking down our nose at other people, anything like that, we've missed the boat. I want to just go back to the verse I mentioned in the opening, and this is where we'll conclude here tonight. I just want to say a few more things. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." No one appreciates light more than those who've been in darkness, right? And, just in the physical, natural realm, I don't know if you've ever been in a place where it was scary dark, right? I mean, there's dark, turn your lights out to go to bed. Kids sometimes get scared or whatever. But, if you've ever been in a situation, and I really haven't, I mean, maybe a couple of times, out in the woods at night or whatever like that. But usually, unless it's an overcast night, sometimes, you got the moon, you got the stars, and we got artificial light, right, if we're out in the woods at night, as a result of hunting or whatever. We've got artificial light. But, boy, if you've ever been in a situation where there is no light, where you can't see your hand in front of your face kind of dark, I was, experienced a little bit of that when we were in India many years ago, and they had the early morning power outage, the mid-morning power outage, the late morning power outage, and it was just a constant thing. So sometimes at night, and when there's no natural light, and you're just, it's just, and the situation in India, too, was there was a real, you could feel the spiritual darkness as well. So it was a combination of the darkness, but also the spiritual darkness, and sometimes, it's just oppressive. It can be so oppressive, and in some cases, it can be frightening. I've never, thankfully, I don't know if any of you have ever been in that situation where you're out in the wilderness and you're lost, right? I mean, and it's that dark of all dark kind of thing, and you don't know which way to turn, and you're miles from anywhere, and you're just totally lost, and you can't see your hand in front of your face, sort of dark. And you start thinking about things, right? I'm sure. You've lost your bearings. You don't, you know, like they say sometimes, if you're lost like that, don't try to go, you know, because you don't have any idea. You know, if you don't have a cell phone, you don't have a compass, you don't have anything, no point of reference, you know, and you just end up walking in circles and you know, many people have died like that. But, you know, you're in a situation like that and, you know, you start thinking, I may not get out of this. This is a hopeless situation. And you start thinking, I may never see my family again and whatever, all those sort of things. And that happens to people. Thankfully, probably hasn't happened, you know, to many of us, if any of us here. But if you're in that situation and all of a sudden you see a light, can you imagine? Can you imagine the hope? Can you imagine the relief, the weight that lifts off your shoulder? You see a light and maybe you hear somebody calling your name or something, you know, and you think, I've been rescued. I've been found. I'm not gonna die, you know, sort of thing. I mean, that's just gotta be the most amazing feeling in the world. And that really, and I know sometimes we don't see it as clearly, but that is what happened to us. Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And that's what Jesus has done for us. The human race walking, groping, stumbling in spiritual darkness, people not knowing what the meaning of life is, not knowing, you know, why they're here, and just hopelessness, not knowing which way to turn. People have tried this and they've tried that. The list is endless. But the Bible says in Colossians 1:13 that He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We were in the kingdom of darkness. And God, what's the word, conveyed? I mean, different translations use different words, but brought us, transferred us out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. And that's the kingdom of light. And that's what's happened to us. A light came, a great light came, and it shined upon us, those who will open their heart to Jesus Christ. It's only through Him that we are delivered from that kingdom of darkness. It goes on in Isaiah chapter 9, and many of you know this verse, verse 6. For unto us, see, this is the answer. The great light that is talked about in verse 2 is explained more fully in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, people sometimes, you hear them say, something about the light that is within you, you know, the light that's in every person. Well, if it's not Jesus, there's no light, right? If there is, it's a false light, it's a deception, right? The only light that we can ever have in our lives is going to change our lives comes through Him. And if we see ourselves as having some light in us, then this time that we're celebrating, it just becomes this quaint, cozy, cultural, you know, sort of thing. But it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When we see ourselves as people trapped in spiritual darkness with no hope of saving ourselves, then this time of year when we celebrate, and we, like Tim said this morning, Tim Archer said, you know, we get to live this every day, right? We get to live this every day. And that celebration is so deep and so real and just so beautiful. There's a worship song. We haven't sang it in a long time. And this is no cue here. I'm not, you know. We're going to do Silent Night in just a minute. But I don't remember what it's called, but the words, who, O Lord, could save themselves? Their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. You alone can rescue. You alone can save. You alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, led us out of death. To you belongs the highest praise. Do you remember what that's called? You alone? Okay. Kind of figured, you know. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. Philippians 2:7, I shared a part of this this morning. Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. For us to experience that great light of the Son of God, he, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, had to empty himself and lay aside the glory of heaven and come and dwell in the midst of sinful man. Really, that's kind of what I've dwelt on a lot this morning. And he did that. And to him belongs the highest praise. Amen? That's why we celebrate tonight. Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Have you experienced the light of life that comes through Jesus Christ? I just want to pray, and Ken, if you want to begin to make your way up and get ready, I just want to take a moment and just open our hearts and, you know, just think about it. I hope I was able to communicate God's heart in some way tonight with you. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And God, I pray that every person can acknowledge that in this place. And for those that can't, I pray, Lord, I know what it's like. We all know what it's like to look to other things. Everyone wants to find fulfillment. Everyone wants to find joy in their lives, wants to find happiness, all these things, God. But they only come through you, because we're walking in darkness, and the only way that we can have the light of life, we can be transferred, conveyed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light. And it is through acknowledging our sin and acknowledging what he did for us on the cross and turning away from our old ways and surrendering our lives fully and completely to him. And we thank you for what you've done for us. And I pray that every one of us would respond as we need to tonight, even. For some, it's just a time to say thank you, God. For those, you know, many here have walked with God for many years. We had a wonderful baptism service here last week, and some new life, and those who've come to Christ, a couple of rededicated their lives to Christ, and it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a celebration to be brought out of darkness into the light of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. So we are going to, why don't you stand? And I'm going to ask the ladies if they would come forward. I hope you have your candle. Do your very best to not get wax on the fire, right? All right, I'm just saying that for the sake of everyone. It'll take just a couple minutes for everyone to get their candle lit, and then, of course, as we always do, we'll sing, we will sing Silent Night. And so let's just take a moment, and Ken, you could just play, you can just, you know, try to just go down the ends of the aisles and have folks, you know, light the ones next to them so that we can move quickly. If you've got your candle lit, go ahead and pass it on. Pass the light to somebody else, amen? That sounds like the gospel. Sharing the light with others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Looks like we're pretty close. A couple more. All right. Ken? Thank you.
night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure life, radiant beam from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing, Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Let's just sing verse one more time.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can blow your candle out, we can turn the lights back on. So I just want to, we've done, all of us, I'm sure, with one another, just wish you a very Merry Christmas and have a blessed time remembering what Christ has done for you and for all of us, and by all means, celebrate with our families. I am refraining from any Rudolph comments tonight with all the fog out there, but so be careful as you're driving, amen? God bless. You're dismissed. And please, just there's a couple of big bowls out there on the table in the lobby. Just put your candles in those when you leave, please. God bless. You're dismissed.